Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, the living word. We pray that he would speak into our hearts and minds and spirits this morning, that we may be made alive again to your grace and to the new life that you want for all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I don't believe in the resurrection. Now, before you rush up and, you know, drag me away and burn me at the stake for heresy, let me explain. I don't believe in the resurrection if you think that by that we mean more of the same, more of this life, or the resuscitation of a corpse, or the reanimation of a dead person. The resurrection of Jesus is not life like it has always been. And by God, I believe in the resurrection. So I'm glad that these early witnesses, when they ran to the tomb, didn't understand. They couldn't make it out. The disciple who reached the tomb first, we know he's the disciple that Jesus loved. He was obviously the young one because he beat Peter to it. we're told he believed, but actually he only believed Mary's word that somebody's taken his body. He didn't understand about the resurrection. He didn't know what was really happening. In fact, we're told later in another gospel that when the women came to the disciples and said to them, "We've seen the Lord," they all thought, "Oh, that's what a lot of nonsense." You know how easy men can dismiss women? Whoops. You know, as idle tales. Mary, even though she saw Jesus, didn't recognize him. I mean, she lived a lot of life with him, you know, through his ministry. She was a close friend. She traveled with him. She heard him teach. It was only when he said, "Mary," that she saw him. But, you know, I still believe that she didn't understand. She didn't quite grasp the enormity of this event. You know, it took the early church a long time to come to terms with the resurrection and its meaning, to make sense of it. In fact, we're told in the scriptures, in the New Testament, that it's only when Jesus opened their minds that they were actually able to understand the fullness of what had actually happened. Because this resurrection is not like any other. It's not like Lazarus or many others who in antiquity have been said to have been raised from the dead. Jesus' resurrection ushers in a whole new era, a whole new epoch, in fact, a new creation. It's not just the lifting up of one body, it is the lifting up of the whole universe into the future that God has for us. We know that those early disciples, when they discover the truth and meaning of this resurrection, found it to be the inauguration of a new creation. As Jesus, who is, as Paul says in Corinthians, the firstborn of the new creation, we know that he ushered in something remarkable, something transformative, something that would change me, you, our world. St. Paul in Romans says this. He says, "The creation waits in eager expectation for the revealing of the children of God, because creation was subjected to futility, not by its own will, but because of the one who subjected it," that's God, "in hope that the creation will be set free from its bondage of decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God." Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of the freedom of creation. As God has promised in his word, he is making all things new. And please notice the tense. He is making all things new. Not he will. He is right now. He's making things new. Or as St. Paul says elsewhere, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Not will be, could be, is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. The resurrection is the beginning of all things new. Definitely not more of the same. And what caught my attention in our story today too was Mary, when recognizing that this was Jesus standing in front of her, tried to hold on to him. Remember? She tried to grab him. I think that's quite instructive. I always wonder, why do Bible writers write these little details in? You know, like she held on to him. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, after all, she loved Jesus. He's alive again. Wonderful. Let's hold on to him. But I think there's much, much more to be said about that. You see, I think Jesus' response is the one that's interesting. He says, don't hold on to me. I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Don't hold on to me. Almost sounds like a rejection, doesn't it? A pushing away. But that's not it. Not at all. Because what Mary was doing, in effect, by holding on to Jesus, was holding on to the past. The past Jesus. Yes, it was the same Jesus, but he wasn't the same Jesus anymore. He was a resurrected one, the one that comes to give a new creation, a new life, a new way of being, a new way of living. Mary, in holding on to the Jesus that she knew, was holding on to the past. And that couldn't be. For Jesus was the beginning of the new future. His resurrection was the inauguration of this wonderful new creation that God has in mind for us and all the things that he has made. And so he says, well, don't hold on to me. There's much more to be coming because I'm going to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Because I'm going to be in the position where I will continue the work of making all things new for you. Don't hold me back from doing that. I'm going to ask you a question. What did you come here today? What did you come to hope and see? Who were you hoping to find? It's basically the same question as in our text. Who were you hoping to find? In the bewilderment of Peter and the disciples' belief, which wasn't yet faith, and Mary's confusion in not recognizing Jesus for who he really was, I'm hoping that you are finding something you actually weren't looking for. Not the same Jesus that you always knew, but something maybe grander and someone far more beautiful and more exciting to meet and live with and live for. I thank God that this Jesus who was raised is, yes, Jesus, but he is much, much, much more. Imagine how awful it would be if Jesus' resurrection was nothing more than more of this life as we know it. Imagine that. Not something new, but the mere revival of the old, with its sorrows, its pains, its weaknesses, its fears, its failures, its broken relationships, its angers, its frustrations, its violence, its sin. And I know life is beautiful. It has amazing, beautiful moments. And I've experienced them with good friends many a time. It's a treasure to be cherished, this life, but not forever. For despite all of its glory, it is too intertwined with much which is broken and twisted. Friends, we can be sure of this morning. resurrection is not merely the revivification of a corpse. It is the experience of death to one way of living and being, and the birth of something completely new and far better. You know, what we do know about those early Christians is when they finally got it, when they finally got it and experienced the risen Christ, their lives were transformed completely, weren't they? Those who experienced resurrection were swept up by a profound new way of being. The whole world was turned upside down, down in a way that brought life out of death, forgiveness rather than hate, love rather than indifference. My prayer for you this morning, as it is for me too, may you today see and believe that in and through Jesus, God lifts you out of this life and its frailty and brings you into a greater life of love and light. May the resurrection be your new creation. Amen.